Welcome to the Performer Week edition of Daytime Confidential, brought to you by DaytimeConfidential.com. Joining me today, we have our Procter & Gamble guru, Mike. Welcome.
Hi.
We have Jamie, which I used to call him the historian, but he doesn't like me calling him the historian, so we've got to come up with a better name for him.
I don't like any of your names. But
well, you'll have one eventually. You'll have one eventually. Also joining
I'm sure there's
us,
some people that could think of some names for you.
I'm sure. Also joining us from the realm of ABC Daytime, Reagan, welcome.
Hello.
Well, we're discussing our performers of the week, the actresses and actresses who we thought did an outstanding, or the actors and actresses who we thought did an outstanding job. And at the end, we may have some dishonorable mentions. Kicking off today's show, let's go with Jamie. Take it away.
Hey, okay. Well, my performer of the week is from a show I probably haven't mentioned in this category in a long time, and that's The Bold and the Beautiful, and it's Susan Flannery and Catherine Kelly Lang, a tie. The death of Phoebe has been a new life for this show, and I'm just so glad that it has refocused it around what it's always done best, which is the Brooke versus Stephanie feud. And, you know, save for a couple of other actors who weren't even really in the storyline, like Leslie Kay and Windsor Harmon, who also gave great and, you know, reactions during the storyline. The people who really, well, we'll get to that later with the dishonorable mentions. But yeah, Susan and Catherine, that's classic Bold and the Beautiful. The two of them finding a way to make this all about the Logans versus the Forresters. And I mean, the lines and the hateful stuff that they were spewing to each other. And I mean, they just, and Catherine can give it right back. It's like, you always kind of, like, Catherine has always been a strong actress on that show. But you always felt like she was overpowered in scenes with Susan Flannery over the last 20 years. But she can give it right back in her more feline, sensual way, you know, whereas Stephanie is just this bulldozer with it. But, I mean, she can stand her ground and fight for the Logans just like Stephanie can fight for the Forresters. So I loved all the scenes with them this past week.
Now, I have to just ask this, because on the CBS episode last week, you said that you couldn't say anything bad about Young and the Restless because the moment you do, it's fixed. But then you ripped B&B a new one, calling it dreadful, and now
making it sound like
it's the second coming of Christ.
No. What I was going to, like I said, that was the hit. We'll get to the miss when it comes to there. I will be speaking about basically the rest of the cast when it gets to dishonorable mentions. In fact, that might have benefited Catherine and Susan that so many of the rest of them were like doing a bad YouTube video. I mean, but anyway, we'll go ahead and keep going with the
Reagan, tell us who your favorite performer was or the performer of the week for you for you.
Well, I'm going One Life to Live the past couple of times I've done this, and this time I'm going to go General Hospital, only because it's probably going to be the last time I really like anything he's in, and I'm going to give it to Steve Burton, Jason Morgan, because I thought all his scenes this week were, while you could tell the actor maybe wasn't 100% behind the storyline, I think he just delivered pretty good performances, great performances actually, with finding Jake, not wanting his son to be anything like him, and then Friday, breaking up with Elizabeth. He had me crying because he was crying, and he does so much with those damn eyes that I'm going to give it to him. And that's probably the last time I'll ever give it to him.
Mike, who do you have?
I actually thought about giving it to Mackenzie Mozzie because she was able to sit there flat acting dead while her sister was trying to emote over her loss. But I'll be serious, and I will give it to I was going to give it to
Judith
Susan
Chapman.
Flannery and Catherine Kelly Lang, too. I mean, those – if they were just, like, moving in their argument, and the fact that they could get angry with each other, it's almost like their rivalry fuels their acting ability because I'll tell you what, they were – the highlight of my entire week, just watching those two go at it. So I hate to be a copycat, but they were actually who I was going to give it to. So same reasons as Jamie. I mean, if you missed them this week, I'll tell you what, you missed something. They were incredible, and they just sucked me right in, and I loved every second that they were arguing with each other about Rick and Phoebe.
I have a tie for my performer of the week. Once again, have to give it to Judith Chapman. The stuff on the stand was awesome, and then afterwards when she was basically set up at the hospital, great, great stuff. But I want to go to As the World Turns. Maura West this week, she put in such a great performance as the writers put her character through all kinds of living hell with Janet and the bachelor party and the bachelorette party, the children, and she just brings it. There is no one who is as consistently good day in, day out as Maura West in most of daytime. There might be one or two exceptions, but no one just brings it day in or day out like she does. And it was some great stuff this last week. Dishonorable mentions, Jamie.
Ooh, let me get out my list to Santa Brad Bill. Okay. The people, most of the cast of The Bold and the Beautiful need to be ashamed of themselves. And I'm going to start off at the top, the people who should have given the best performances. Ron Moss and Hunter Tylo ought to be ashamed of themselves for having been in daytime this long and still not know how to act. That mess was just atrocious. They have made the best week ever. I mean, no, the soup. They don't even have to cover anything. Just Ron Moss yelling out, "How does a father tell a mother her child is dead?" That was horrible.
That's what I'm talking about, the dialogue. Nobody talks.
I do.
The dialogue was bad, but the act, you know, it is really sad when Leslie Kay is not even in the main storyline and she is reacting better. She's only been on that show a couple of years and she knows how to emote that her niece is dead. The people who have been playing the children's parents for, you know, 20 years, you know, take off 10 for sore assing, can't bring it. You know, I'm sorry. That was atrocious. You know, Lord have mercy. Now, there were standouts. You know, Kyle Lauder is doing amazing. He was in an honorable mention. But I'm sorry. The people that played Phoebe's immediate family, Ron Moss, Hunter Tylo, Drew Tyler Bell, and Jacqueline McInnes Wood ought to be ashamed of themselves. That little girl chewed more scenery. I thought she was Judith Chapman's long-lost daughter. I mean, that mess was atrocious. It was hideous. My grandmother would have said, "Stop that! You dry those tears up, those fake tears." I mean, when she's crying over her dead sister. A director should have reined that in because they should have seen, okay, she's not doing this. We need to cut this short. Because, and then when she's up there on that roof, "I still feel you." "I feel you, Phoebe. I still." Okay, maybe it would have been great if they would have built them a twin relationship like that for the last, you know, however long. But they've never written them that they were these psychically connected twins. And now it's, the twin thing we have. Oh, really? You mean the fact that y'all were once identical and now you're not? And you haven't even been on the screen together like 5 minutes in 2 years? And now this bad acting and this grabbing the stomach and laying in there over that corpse? How creepy was that? "I'm going to keep you warm. My love will keep you warm wherever you are." I was like, good Lord in heaven. Where is Days of Our Lives or God Light? Please, Jesus.
Yeah, it was awful. And the thing is, if you can't create tears, I mean, have somebody throw sand in your eyes or something. She didn't have a wet eye or anything.
And Ron Moss coming in that room and falling to his knees. Oh, I was like, what is this?
We're going to save this PBS podcast. Mike, dishonorable mentions.
Well, that's pretty much right up there. I really thought that to try to recreate when Brooke was talking to Storm's corpse in the hospital, you can't recreate that. Catherine Kelly Lang can obviously talk to a sheet and make you feel something. So when you try to put it on somebody else, it didn't work. I thought That was bad. I thought even if they did all this stuff for Hunter Tylo to get her nomination, it fell completely flat. So I just felt like it was way overdone, way over the top, and it was just – it was hard to watch. I felt really – I didn't feel anything at all until Catherine Kelly Lang and Susan Flannery were fighting with each other. And actually, I thought – I agree with Jamie. Kyle Lauder, he reined in himself and was able to create tearful moments for himself. And he was so calm and so much better than
and
he was when he was overdoing.
Mackenzie was good this last week back, and I've never really been a fan of hers. But I thought if they had to kill a twin, they should have killed the other one. They should have killed that girl because bless
like
her heart.
It's like what happened on All My Children when Amanda Baker was killed off as Babe. Most people couldn't stand her portrayal of Babe, but she did the work of her career when she was killed off.
Right. Yeah, you know, but it
honorable
just,
mentions, Mike.
That was a mess.
It was.
That was a damn mess. I'm ashamed of them.
Honorable
I'm
mentions,
just
Mike.
Ashamed.
I thought I really loved Tracy Bregman when she tried to get Gloria to go to testify.
That was good.
I liked Marie Wilson when she found out that Paul was behind that girl coming to trick Dusty, only because she wasn't hysterical over the top. I liked Judith Chapman. I thought she was great on the stand, and I did like that part in the room. And I'm surprised she wasn't clever enough to figure out she was being set up, but I don't care. She finally got caught. Ted Shackelford.
Love Shackelford.
As much as I hate his character sometimes, he was really good. And I'm going to even put one out there for Jamie. Our own Vail Bloom, who finally loosened up a little bit and made herself look scared shitless of Victor. Usually she's
you know
so
what?
Tense and scared. But maybe when she was sitting in that room with him, she actually looked like she was going to crap her pants. And that's how she should be with Victor. So I thought that was pretty good.
Maybe it'll be the Austin Peck effect. 5 minutes before he was fired from Days the first time, he learned how to act. He went on to, As the World Turns, has done great. Maybe Vail Bloom will go somewhere else, and it'll be she'll have a breakout performance. I mean, Rebecca Budig on Guiding Light was nothing pretty to see, and then she kicked butt the first time she did Greedly on AMC. So
Reagan.
Who knows? Vail Bloom might become the next Marcy Rowland.
Reagan?
Nah.
Dishonorable and honorable mentions.
Dishonorable, Brian Franz breaking up my couple because that'll be the last time I talk about it.
Woohoo!
Honorable, love the Maxi Lulu, Spinelli, Johnny roommate storyline. Friday was hysterical with the whole noise coming from the bedroom. So I love that. I know it's going to be a little bit of a redo of what was it, Nicholas, Gia, and Liz and Lucky, but that's okay.
Oh, Gia, not Gia.
I like Gia.
I hate both Gias.
honorable mentions. There were some great performances on One Life to Live, though none in particular stood out for me. But dishonorable mentions. I hate to say this because I really love the actress, and I think it's the writing and not necessarily the acting. But Megan Ward's Kate on General Hospital. I mentioned this on the ABC episode this week, but a lobotomy that character has went through, it's just painful to watch. Painful, painful to watch. And as Belinda said, it's amazing what happens to women on General Hospital once they've had some dumb stick. And it just...
<dumb stick. laughs>
I mean...
Oh my God.
I love Belinda.
I'm sorry, but Megan, I love your portrayal of Kate. I loved it when it came on, and I'm sorry that I have to give you a dishonorable mention, but these writers are turning your character into a shrieking harpy, and it's just painful to
watch. Well, that's on purpose, because they want to pimp up.
I know why it is.
I'm sorry. I loved Sarah Brown the first time she came on, but what is the point? Sonny and Kate were a great couple, but they're going to dismantle them to pimp some old storyline again.
Well, but as Reagan pointed out in the ABC episode, Claudia and the Claudia and Sonny scenes are the only scenes she can watch. Well,
that's the only time I can stomach him.
Yeah.
Really.
Well, on that note, we thank you for listening. Until next time, so long, folks.
Bye.
Bye.